Where do you wanna be?
Where you
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe, Ashe. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi, Hotep family. Hope everything is well for you today. Hope you're going to have a good day today. Hope you're going to get a chance to do all the things that you want to do, should do, must do, must do, and will do. The will. Hoping, too, the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But, of course, if it is not, and it has to get done, it must get done, you will get it done. That's why we love you. Have much admiration and respect for you. Because you don't mess around. You don't procrastinate. You don't put it off. No, you get it done. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcast programs. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other program we have here on Time for an Awakening, this program, once again, is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m., and all times are going to give our Eastern times. Our story every Monday and Wednesday, this evening, at 7 p.m., from 7 to 9 p.m., our story with Baba Wes Johnson out of New Orleans. On Thursday, tomorrow evening, from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., the Black Liberation Movement, Mississippi on the Move, with Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club. And then on Fridays, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening, family. Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And then on Sunday at 5 p.m., from 5 to 6 on Sunday, Pinckney to Pinckney, activist Reverend Edward Pinckney out of Benton Harbor, Michigan, on Sundays from 5 to 6. And then at 7 p.m. on Sunday, once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. Brothers and sisters, if we don't do it, you know the answer. So it's incumbent upon us to support one another. It's incumbent upon us. WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the African. Brother Bomani Tayemba is about to take another group of our people to the motherland, May 24th to June 5th, going to Ghana, May 24th to June 5th. And then November 20th to December 1st, Tanzania. February 12th to the 23rd, February 12th to the 23rd, 2026, for $4,500. Well, let me backtrack, because, you know, the prices are still there. Ghana trip, May 24th to June 5th, 2025, with $4,600. November 20th to December 1st, Tanzania, 2025.
4,700. February 12th to February 23rd, 2026, 4,500. Liberia. April 1st to April 13th, 2026, 4,600. Kemet. May 24th to June 5th, same dates. Ghana, 2026. And same price, 4,600. 4,600 this year, May 24th to June 5th, 2025. And the same price, May 24th to June 5th, 2026. 4,600 going for Ghana. October 1st to October 12th, 2026, 4,400. Kenya. And then November 19th to November 30th, Azania, 2026, 4,500. Very affordable, as you know. Future African tours coming up. Ghana, April 1st to the 13th, 2027. Tanzania, January 10th through the 21st, 2027. And then an excursion, November 18th through the 29th, Zambia, Botswana, and Zimbabwe. Zambia, Botswana, and Zimbabwe. And, of course, on the website, AfricaForTheAfricans.org, there's ways that you can buy land, you can invest, you can repatriate, all the information that you need, family, everything that you need to make this a trip of a lifetime, is on the website. Go to AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Habesha. HabeshaIncorporated.org. Habesha stands for Helping Africa by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. The mission is that Habesha is a Pan-African organization that cultivates leadership in youth and families through practical experiences in cultural education, sustainable agriculture, entrepreneurship, holistic health, and technology. Go to their website, HabeshaIncorporated.org, and see for yourself what it's doing here in Atlanta and on the continent with the Tekashi Project in Ghana. HabeshaIncorporated.org. The LEDGE program, LEDGE stands for Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. The LEDGE group. The LEDGE group has 12 projects in 6 different countries. And over 172.
This call may be recorded or transcribed.
Over 172 employed, and has over 260 members. It deals in the 4 areas of human necessity, the essential things that are vital to human existence: food, water, clothing, and shelter. So check out the LEDGE group. Please give if you can, so that program can be sustained and ongoing. The Minister of Wellness, not sure if he's back yet. Maybe I should call Brother Ayo Kamathi. Well, Brother Ayo's doing great work, man. The irritated genie. But this brother's doing great work, too. This is Nathaniel Jordan, the Minister of Wellness. Go to his website, theministerofwellness.com. One word, one long word. TheministerofWellness.com. On the website, he has a lot of nice new products and, of course, information. And check it out, theministerofwellness.com. Smy Pharmacy's been down for quite a long time. They're still down. So Smy Pharmacy and Brother Jabril, I'm wondering what's happening. Try to give him a call there and see what's going on. Moses West Foundation, the Moses West Foundation. Yes, sir. Sustainable water, man. The mission, they're a 509A, 2 nonprofit organizations focused on alleviating the global water crisis by bringing clean water access and water health and hygiene education programs to the world's most impoverished communities. Safe access to water, clean drinking water. It's interesting, man. They put that machine down, and it sucks in the, what's in the atmosphere, because there's water everywhere, water all around us. It's in the atmosphere. The H2O molecule is all around us. There's no shortage of water, family. There's no shortage. There's a shortage of access to water. And Brother Moses West is doing his part to try to help any way he can with the atmospheric water generating machine, the AWG. Yeah. So go to the website, MosesWestFoundation.org. MosesWestFoundation.org. We design and implement advanced atmospheric water generating technology to deliver sustainable water, sanitation, and hygiene solutions globally to ensure communities have reliable access to the resources essential for health and well-being. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located here in Atlanta in the West End on Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard, up the street from where I live, exactly. Yep, Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. Give them a call at 404-444-1635. They're right across the street from Soul Vegetarian Restaurant, right down there, Ralph David Abernathy. And that community is going through some gentrification. The Western Mall is closed. Yeah. A number of other businesses have closed. So, yeah. Yes, sir. It's what they do. It's, they reclaim gentrification. But Wadada's is there. They're going strong, so check them out. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Check out Mama Nia. She has a fine selection of books and postcards, greeting cards, gift certificates, T-shirts, figurines, and so much more. Give her a call at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. She doesn't have the book that you're requesting or trying to inquire about. Believe me, she'll get it for you. And she, more than likely, she may have it. So go down to the Greenbrier Mall and check out the Medu Bookstore. The other bookstore that we promote is out of Lithonia, which is the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar. Our good brother Gazimde Ajamu, the proprietor, located right there on Main Street. He has nice selections of books and teas and coffees and so forth. He serves delicious Cameroon boil coffee. So check him out at and give him a call at 770-305-6373. 770-305-6373. There is light in the Black Dot. How you get there? Take I-20. Go east. Go east on I-20. Take exit 74. Make a left. Now you're traveling north about a mile and a half. And on the left will be the Black Dot Cultural Center Bookstore and Coffee Bar. Then jump back in your ride, head back in the other direction. Now you're going south. Once again, jump back on I-20 going east. The next exit is exit 75, Turner Hill Road. Take that right, go down three lights and make another right. And on the left will be the new Black Wall Street Market. The new Black Wall Street Market. So, all right. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop, located in Macon, Georgia. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop. Brother Bija, give him a call at 478-256-1166. 478-256-1166. Brother Bija's got it going on at 2910 Napier Avenue in Macon, Georgia. He's got all kind of stuff, holistic soaps, DVDs, CDs, incense, jewelry, clothing, furniture. He even has a vegan restaurant on the premise. That's right, a vegan restaurant on the premise. So check out Brother Bija. Sanjay-Haiti.org. Sister Gabriella really is working with young people in on the island of Haiti, in the northeast portion of the island. Sister Gabby is doing an outstanding job. Check it out. Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E-Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I.org. sanjay-iet.org. All right. You know, I only do announcements once a month now. But that's cool. That's cool. Akabin Institute. That's right. Akabin Institute is there will, excuse me. Okay. What I want to see here. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, school's about to be out this month. And so Akabin Institute is an educational school that Baba Baruti Mama Yah started when they left from Morehouse College as educators at Morehouse to have their own school, and they've been doing it for years now. Yeah, years, I think over 20-some years. And they rely totally on us. That's right, brothers and sisters, they rely on us. So I'm asking you to do whatever you can. Go to PayPal or Cash App. If you go to PayPal, put in Yah Baruti, you know, at yahoo.com. If you go to Cash App, put in $ Yah, M, the letter M, Baruti. And you can deal with Cash App to make your contributions. They're greatly appreciated. Greatly appreciated. Also, too, they have a summer school program. It begins in June. Next month. Next month is June. That's right. It begins in June for 3rd grade to 12th graders. Mama Yah is doing one-on-one individual sessions from Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to, excuse me, from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. and then from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. in language arts, math, and social studies. From elementary to high school, you know, and the sessions maybe 1 hour or multiple hours. Baba Baruti is doing chess and our history Tuesdays and Thursdays, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. for 2 hours, our history. And then in the afternoon from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., chess, learning how to play chess. The strategic thing about learning how to play chess. So, Akabin Institute in the summer school program. Give them a call at 404-753-7237. 404-753-7237. Akabin Institute. All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Inyasa Sim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inyasa Sim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. May 6. They say karate means empty hands. So then is a perfect for poor people, for the poor man. They say that karate means empty hands. So then it's perfect for the poor man. Dead prayers. Every African child needs to learn an African martial arts. If it's not available locally, then any martial arts will do until an African one can be found, since these fighting skills originated on the motherland, in the motherland. Poor or not, our children need to learn how to defend themselves and the discipline that goes along with it. Yes, they need discipline. Our sisters in particular need to know the mechanics of artillery and develop a confident marksmanship in some weaponry, be it a handgun, a rifle, a crossbow, a knife, whatever. For those who have not noticed, almost every gun magazine out there has a cover or articles featuring European women and children learning the art of survival and marksmanship. All of them are being prepared for what they know is inevitable, while we and our children are mastering the art of being entertained and entertaining them. There has never been a time when these agents of disorder have not engaged in or preparing to engage in war against others. Those they destroy are quickly pacified out of any desire to defend themselves. Knowing the innate need in Europeans for violent destruction and domination of others, only a fool would not find some weapon to master. If there are no practical, potentially effective weapons available, then the body must be trained into one. No African should ever be defenseless in a European reality. In a European reality. Let me say that again. No African should ever be defenseless in a European reality. Affirm, I am learning and passing on our martial arts. Affirm, I am learning and passing on our martial arts. May 7th. If exposure to information is to remain a prominent influence on values, and if values are in turn to influence behavior, then manipulating the type, amount, and quality of information our children receive will help them to develop a value system that is more consistent with their African culture. Ashe, Joseph White and Thomas Parham. Our children are repeatedly told by Western media, and those it has significantly influenced in its favor, to be themselves. But the definition of self is confined to the insane prescriptions of Eurocentric individualism. How can those who know nothing but this reality and its selfish, immoral, aggressive definition of personality becoming anything other than extreme individualists who value nothing above a self-centered self if they follow the dictates of being themselves? If they are to become anything other than Urugu's silly shadows, then they must be explicitly and consistently exposed to the values of the African way, so that they see this path as a viable, desirable, logical choice for themselves as warriors in training. They must be taught of the incompatibility of African and European culture and the society, and given their role in helping to make an African world that stands outside of this fabricated reality. Ashe. Affirm, because it is not our children's duty to suffer the insane. My mission is to ensure that they do not have to. Affirm, because it is not our children's duty to suffer the insane. My mission is to ensure that they do not have to. Brothers and sisters, the Inya Sesim of daily revolutionary thought. Yes. The mind. You know. That's what this program is about. This program is about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. I'm a little upset, family. Sovereignty's not going to run in the second leg of the Triple Crown. They shouldn't even talk about the Triple Crown no more, because horses don't run in them. They have a horse. The horse that ran, then, you know, the Kentucky Derby is first. So that's the beginning. That's the first leg. You know, then the Preakness in Baltimore is second. And then the Belmont Stakes in New York is third. And so I told you it was a sign that sovereignty won, because sovereignty for us will win. Sovereignty for us, family, we will win. And so I thought, well, you know, he should go for the Triple Crown. You know, but no, he's not going to run in the Preakness. And I guess he'll run in the Belmont. I don't know. So be it. But, yeah, sovereignty. And the motto of the program is Pan-Africanism or perish. unify or die. That's the real deal, family, for sure. Yeah, that's the real deal. So, this Saturday, May 10th, it will be a Baka Tsum Tsum. That's right. Mama Marimba sent me a message and information. Baka Tsum, the 22nd annual of Baka Tsum Tsum Tsum, African Spiritual Warfare, May 10th. It's going to be at the Twin Ponds, 3215 Bright Star Road in Douglasville, Georgia. Twin Ponds. It is American African owned land. Twin Ponds, 3215 Bright Star Road, Douglasville, Georgia, 30135. 12 noon to 7 p.m. 12 noon to 7 p.m. If you got any questions, you can dial 470-500-6596. That's 470-500-6596. Abaka Simpson. Yeah. Yep. Abaka Sim. I haven't been in a while, family. I'm really looking forward to this Saturday. I haven't been to Baka Tsum in quite a while. For those who are listening, hopefully, you know, you may not be able to make it this year, but try your best to make it next year. It's very beautiful. It's very spiritual. It is very moving. The reenactments. Yeah. The various warriors and male and female warriors in our history, you know, we're talking about warriors, my like Dessalines, you know, we're talking about warriors, warrior scholars like Dr. John Henry Clark, Francis Crest, we're talking about warriors. We're not talking about those who wanted to go along to get along, you know. Mm-mm. We're talking about warriorhood. Abaka Tsum Tsum Tsum, the 22nd annual, this Saturday, May 10th, at Twin Ponds, 3215 Bright Star Road, Douglasville, Georgia, 30135, from 12 noon to 7 p.m. All right. Yeah. Haven't played this particular piece in some time. You know, and I want to play that because it's a piece that we must play. Oh, let me play this. This is Sister Malence. This is very old, at least, I'd say at least about 10, 15 years old. Her presentation to TED Talk that was happening, her presentation, and I think she's in Germany when she gives the presentation, you know, yeah. She's very beautiful, very smooth saying it too. I love it. Yeah. So, and then after we play this, we're going to read a piece out of Recapturing the African Mind. We're talking about the African mind today. Capturing the African mind. This is Sister Malence, and this is a very interesting piece.
One thing that keeps me puzzled despite having studied finance and economics at the world's best universities. The following question remains unanswered. Why is it that 5,000 units of our currency is worth one unit of your currency, where we are the ones with the actual gold reserves? It's quite evident that the aid is in fact not coming from the West to Africa, but from Africa to the Western world. The Western world depends on Africa in every possible way, since alternative resources are scarce out here. So how does the West ensure that the free aid keeps coming? By systematically destabilizing the wealthiest African nations and their systems, and all that backed by huge PR campaigns, leaving the entire world under the impression that Africa is poor and dying and merely surviving on the mercy of the West. Well done, Oxfam, UNICEF, Red Cross, Life Aid, and all the other organizations that continuously run multi-million dollar advertisement campaigns depicting charity porn to sustain that image of Africa globally. Ad campaigns paid for by innocent people under the impression to help with their donations. While one hand gives under the flashing lights of cameras, the other takes in the shadows. We all know the dollar is worthless, while the euro is merely charged with German intellect and technology, and maybe some Italian pasta. How can one expect donations from nations that have so little? It's super sweet of you to come with your colored paper in exchange for our golden diamonds. But instead, you should come empty-handed, filled with integrity and honor. We want to share with you our wealth and invite you to share with us. The perception is that a healthy and striving Africa would not disperse its resources as freely and cheaply, which is logical. Of course, it would instead sell its resources at world market prices, which in turn would destabilize and weaken Western economies established on the post-colonial free meal system. Last year, the IMF reports that 6 out of 10 of the world's fastest growing economies are in Africa, measured by their GDP growth. The French Treasury, for example, is receiving about $500 billion year in, year out. Foreign exchange reserves from African countries based on colonial debt they forced them to pay. Former French President Jacques Chirac stated in an interview recently that we have to be honest and acknowledge that a big part of the money in our banks comes precisely from the exploitation of the African continent. In 2008, he stated that without Africa, France will slide down in the rank of a third world power. This is what happens in the human world, the world we have created. Have you ever wondered how things work in nature? One would assume that in evolution, the fittest survives. However, in nature, any species that is overhunting, overexploiting the resources they depend on as nourishment, natural selection would sooner or later take the predator out because it upsets the balance.
That's what it does. It upsets the balance. And Europeans truly have done just that. They have upset the balance. Yeah. I tell you, brothers and sisters, the African mind. This is Brother Dr. Bruce Bridges. Haven't talked to him in a while. He's a good friend of our good brother. Dr. William Rogers, who had a radio program on this channel as well. And passed a few years ago now. And haven't heard from Bruce Spears. I want to get that contact. But have his book here and talk about the African mind and how the methods of force, fear, and fraud are utilized by the European to maintain the dominance and control that he does on the African mind. Because when you control the mind, that's right, you control, you're in control. And that's the problem. These folks have captured our minds. They have a vice grip. I always like to use that term in this analogy. They have a vice grip on our minds. And if you know that tool, for those who, I'm quite sure hopefully everybody listening knows what a vice grip is, but maybe you don't. Because maybe you don't deal with tools. Your man does, or your friend does, whatever. But a vice grip is in pliers that once you put it on and you turn the knob and you snap it, bam, you can't open it up. Just like a vice is tight. The only way that you can do that, there's a knob at the end of the handle. Turn that knob. It is symbolic of acquiring knowledge. By turning that knob, the more knowledge we get of ourselves, of who we are, what we've done, what we need to do, continue to turn that knob. And then the tension begins to loosen and bam, you can open it up and release the vice grip that is on our minds by acquiring knowledge of self. Now, my understanding is you don't look for the person or the group or the entity that put the vice grip on your mind. To hell with them. What you do is you help others. Because once all of us have been released from the vice grip, we'll know the direction that we need to go. We'll know how important it is to be independent, self-determining, liberated, and sovereign. We'll know. And we'll move in that direction. And we'll challenge anybody who wants us to put us back into that situation. That's what's happened, and this is what's still happening. Many of us still believe that our only way is to get Caucasians to understand that, hey, you need to allow us to be part and parcel of this madness. We've been here a long time. You brought us over here, and you told us this, and you told us that, and you are liars. So why should you believe them now? But we help build this too. So it should be part of ours. Why don't they talk about us? We fought the Indians. Shut up, nigga. Richard Pryor. Why don't they talk about us? We fought the... No. This is theirs, not ours. There's nothing we can do. This is theirs. Our whole method, our whole being is to depart from this madness. That's what it should be, family. I know. Sometimes I drive around and I see areas, particularly here in Atlanta, because there's some areas here in Atlanta are very nice. And it's us, you know. Not like Milwaukee, where I'm from. You know, you go to some areas in Milwaukee, you know they number Caucasians, particularly if it's the areas and of course, the suburbs. The city of Milwaukee is predominantly, not predominantly, it's about 40. We're 40% of the city of Milwaukee, no doubt. You know, but outside of that, we're like 10 to 5. You know, but here in Atlanta and here in Georgia, we're all throughout the state. And there's some areas that are very nice. And I understand that. You know, there's other areas in the country, you know, where in major cities we're predominant. And in some of the suburbs we're doing well, you know. But once again, this is theirs, not ours. And they're showing it. With this Trump presidency, they are showing it. It is theirs. My lady, her daughter's program that she has, this is, I mean, Public Allies is a good program. Michelle Obama's in the program. It's been going on for a long time. And they want to get rid of these programs. They want to get rid of them, the history, the museums. And we better read that. That piece, and I could save my piece here for another day, because yeah. Because, you know, it's a damn shame. It's a damn shame. They're talking about the history, and they're saying that, you know, you need to look at American history this way. The glory, the goodness of America. Shit. Let me read this to you, families, before we get up. We're almost coming to the break. Wait upon the break. That's what I'll do. I'll do that. See if we got time for that. Yeah. The African mind. We're at war. We're at war, family, for the minds of our people. If we were in our right minds, the direction that we would be. Because we're not, there's so many of us who are traitors. So many of us who are collaborators. So many of us who do the bidding. We're the captive. We do the bidding of the captor. And that's the language I'm going to use when reading this. Because I don't use slave. We were not slaves. A slave is somebody or something that submits its will to a master. We were never slaves. We were captives. And they were captive. They weren't masters. They weren't masters on a damn thing. They're just captors. And they hold us captive. You know, we need to get the language right. Because by getting the language right, it gives you a better visualization. It gives you a better knowledge of the situation and who and what we are. Like, we're not black. I know we can use that word interchangeably. Black, African, da da da. If you leave it up to Brother Oshie, the way we should use the term is American African. We're African. Imagine if Africans across started understanding that we're Africans, even on the continent, whatever country they're in. The most important thing is being African. To have that collective, imagine we had that kind of collective thought, but more so the collective reality. and that everywhere on the planet that we come together, wherever we are living. If you're living in Brazil, you're Brazilian African. In the Caribbean, you're Caribbean African, whether it's Jamaican African, Puerto Rican African, Barbados African. If you're living in Central America, Nicaraguan African, Colombian African. If you're living in Europe, German African, British African. Wherever we are, we're Africans. If you're living on a continent, you're Ghanaian African, Nigerian African. We're Africans. That's what we are. We're Africans. And you see so many, particularly here in this damn country, oh, I ain't African. They don't even want to call it African-American. They don't even want to do that. No, Africa is the noun. Africa is the noun. A noun describes a person, place, or thing. That's why black, that doesn't, no. We're not black. And they ain't white. They ain't white. They're Europeans. They're Caucasians. They're Yorugu. They're crackers, peckerwood, honkies, whatever. Ain't heard that word in a while, have you? Honky. Honky. I never forget, I'm watching this movie with John Wayne, of course, his racist ass. It's a real old movie. and the coal miners. Honky. And he uses that word, not to describe us, but something within the movie. It's so long that I've seen it, it just stuck with me. But no, brothers and sisters, we are African. We are African. And we should be proud to be and work hard to be the best Africans that we can be, that we work hard with one another, and that we begin to control the land, the resources. Burkina Faso African, Niger African, Africans. Yeah. So that's what we need to do, family. That's what we need to do. That would help put a better perspective on who we are and help clear up the confusion that is in our minds. That is in our minds. And that we control that. We say that's who we are. Okay, yeah, I know we've gone through all kind of name situations. But the bottom line is, it's a process of evolving, because the Caucasian had us as what, you know, Negroes, niggers, coloreds, black. We're African. We have a homeland. We have a continent. We have resources beyond imagination. We have all the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do it out, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for. But when we gain control, and you want them, you're going to pay for them. You're going to pay for them. This idea of being white. And of course, all the adjectives about being white, purity and black. That's like Ossie Davis. The English language is my enemy. Mm-hmm. So, I'm going to take a break. We come back from the break. Engage in conversation. You join that conversation by dialing 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
We'll be right back.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Not a Wu-Tanger. Welcome back, brothers and sisters. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and Black Talk. Excuse me, radio.com. Lonnie Liston Smith. Expansions. Expand your mind. Yes. We'll play this. We haven't played this in a while. I'm quite sure you understand what's happening with this.
We have a buying power of $1.2 trillion. But what are we doing with it? The Regional Coordinating Committee.
Let me stop that. Apologize on that.
There is a lot of talk of late on the African continent about the fact that Africans are awaking. There is a lot of talk about the fact that we are woke. But the question that I'd like to ask you is, almost 100 years ago, a man called Marcus Garvey rose and told Africans that they must unite. Unite in their control of resources. Unite as nations. Unite their imaginations, their dreams, aspirations, and capabilities to grow in Africa and a race that will be able to self-determine and compete against other races. A man called Kwame Nkrumah came and said the same message. And another by the name of Malcolm X said the same. But the question is, after almost a century since the rise of Marcus Garvey, has Africa achieved unity? Do we control our resources? Do we unite in our aspirations, dreams? And have we elevated Africa into a continent and a race that can compete and self-determine against other races? The truth of the matter is we have failed. We have failed because we have remained divided. We've continued to work as 54 different states that continue to be subjugated. This is why the French continue to have 14 colonies on the African continent. It is why 36 African countries have got American bases and AFRICOM on their soil. It is why many African countries continue to sell their resources, their institutions, for debt to countries like China. And the question that I'm now challenging you, the woke generation, with is, what are we going to do about it? The reason we've got wars on the African continent is because we're being divided for conquest. The reason we've got sanctions on the African continent is that all the independent knowledge and education, the power to take control of our resources, can be destroyed so that Africa can continue to be colonized by our Western colonizers. This is why now we need to rise. Remember that you, the African American, with all your paper money, the greatest wealth among all black nations, only have paper money, but the true wealth is in Africa. The true wealth is the reason why Africa is under sanctions and war, the one that Europeans want to keep for themselves. You need to bring your paper money, your skill, your knowledge, your frustration back to Africa to invest it in the control of real wealth and real resources in the form of the oil, the diamonds, chrome, lithium, cassiterite, and all the other resources that the Western worlds are fighting to control in Africa. Your paper money can be leveraged into machines, skills, technology, and the knowledge that Africa needs in order to move and prosper. You, the Caribbean, with your skill, power, determination. You, the Jamaican, the first people to resist European colonialism. You, the Haitian, the very first black peoples to defeat a European army. You are the answer to Africa's problems. You, the European African, with all that you've learned and earned, the basketball player, the soccer player, the sportsman, the singer, the musician, the actor, with all your billions of dollars, are the investment that Africa needs to stop its dependency on the colonizer. It's about time that we rose. And I'm saying that Marcus Garvey's dream can be fulfilled, because when he dreamt it, not a single country, not a single African country was independent. When he dreamt it, not many black billionaires existed, if any. But today we've got black billionaires. Today the richest man in Africa is a black man. We have what it takes and the capacity that it takes to grow our continent into being a continent that can be respected, can self-determine, control its resources, control the processing of those resources, and create currencies based on those resources to be the leading economy in the world. With that, we can industrialize, grow up the technology curve, and begin to create the machinery, the tools to defend the sovereignty of this continent. And now I say it's time that we unite. We have countries like Zimbabwe under U.S. war sanctions to make it unattractive for any African to come, because Europeans are preserving it for themselves. But I'm inviting you, my African-American brother, you Africans in the diaspora, you Africans on the continent, to say, come and take advantage of the greatest reserves of lithium, chrome, gold, true wealth, land, an opportunity to develop infrastructure for us to create wealth as a people, for yourselves, for the advancement of Africa. The time to awake is now, but awakening takes action, pride, investment, development, innovation to give our people power. This is the time.
apologize about that, family. Apologize about that. Lapse there for a momentary lapse. Should never have that on radio. Anyway, we're going to continue on with what we're talking about, and that is, of course, the liberation of the African mind. And hopefully that we understand what we need to do. It is incumbent upon us to study. It's incumbent upon us to share, to give one another, begin to trust one another, believe in one another, trust one another, emphasizing trust a few times because that's vitally important, you know? So, yes. Here's another piece that I wanted to play. I got to find it. So since I got to find it, I'm not going to do that. I'll play it at another time. I'll play it at another time. In Dr. Bruce Bridges' book, The African Mind, Recapturing the African Mind, he lays down a number of things that we as African people need to do. You know, there's a segment of the book in the what chapter is this? And it talks about the training and the methods. I'm talking about methods of force, fear, and fraud. During the period of physical captivity of Africans in America, Richard Heldard was born in Deerfield, Massachusetts, 1807. He died in 1865, towards the end of the physical captivity. Being the offspring of an outspoken minister, Hildreth hated any hint of restriction of expression in matters of religion. He wrote a pamphlet entitled Appeal to Common Sense and the Constitution on Behalf of Unlimited Freedom of Discussion. After graduating from Harvard University and teaching for 2 years, he left Boston for Florida in search of a more helpful climate because he had tuberculosis. While in Florida, Hildreth lived on a plantation. And while there, he developed an intense hatred for the captive system. He wrote two important books during his 18 months on the plantation. One, a novel, The Slave or Memories of a Fugitive, and the other, Despotism in America, an analysis of the deleterious effects of slavery on the economy and political development of the southern states. The Captive is considered to be the first American novel to present an anti-captivity argument. The storyline in the book shows how captivity corrupted the morals of both the minister, corrupted the morals of both the captor and the captive. Hildreth portrays the captive as a complex human being who do their very best to survive a very difficult situation. I say. The hero in the book is a captive named Archie. Archie has a feeling of superiority over other captives because of his white blood, his Caucasian blood. When Archie begins to admire a dark-skinned captive leader, he realizes the extent to which he has accepted racism on the plantation. Hildreth shows clearly how everything of value to the captive, such as his wife, his children, his blood, his work, and his life, are not his. He'll just return to Massachusetts and continue to write until his death. His writings were always along the idea of political reform. Hostility was provoked by his harsh criticism of the church for preaching morality without working to relieve human suffering. Hildreth did not Hildreth did not relish the church's attendance and saw the church as lacking political reform, especially in the matter of captivity. He worked for anti-captive causes with George Bradburn, Maria Chapman, and John Pierpoint. Theodore Parker and Hildreth worked on legal challenges to the fugitive captive law. He was one of the first American historians to present the past exactly as it was, rather than edifying story with a patriotic moral. Despotism in America, or an inquiry into the nature and results of captive holding system in the United States, referred to captivity as a great social experiment. In this context, the author describes certain techniques for enforcing the empire of the captor. It is said that to sustain an empire such as captivity, the most vigorous means are essential. The captor would employ one of the three means of control, or a combination, to keep the system operating. Which one he chose depend upon the tempers, talents, and habits and notions of the master or the captor. The three mechanisms of control are outlined as follows. Force, fear, and fraud. Force. Those captors whose tempers are harsh, violent, and brutal, especially those who have never been softened by education, rely principally upon force. Is the captive late in coming to the field? 20 lashes. Is he idle? 30 lashes. Is he guilty of the slightest act of insubordination? 100 lashes. Should he dare to offer any resistance? Then let him be shot, stabbed, beaten to the ground with a club. Such is a brief specimen of the system of plantation management, which some call cruel, but which those who follow it merely describe as vigorous and efficient. 2. Fear. There are many men who cannot look without some feelings of sympathetic pain, or at least an intrusive disgust upon the body of an old man or woman, perhaps cut up with lashes and scored with bloody gashes. The scream and outcries of the victims affect them. They endeavor to avoid the use of the whip and to govern as far as possible by the fear of it. They strive to supply by bitter and alarming words the place of action, but the words soon lose their efficiency, and the captor who governs upon this wordy plan soon comes to keep both himself and his captives in a constant state of irritation and ill feelings by a process of fault finding, scolding, and threats, which becomes a habit and goes on from 1 year to the next year to the next year. Number three, fear. There are some captors who pride themselves upon their cunning and superior knowledge of human nature, so they think, who make considerable use of fraud in the management of their captives. One of the most usual application of it is the attempt to take advantage of the religious feelings of the captives and to impress them with the idea that obedience, honesty toward their captors, humble submission, and other plantation virtues are religious duties which God commands under the penalty of damnation. This is chiefly practiced by captive holding clergymen and church members. The religious people of the South have been at the pains of preparing for captive catechisms. In some places, they have established captive Sunday schools, and meetings for captive worship are regularly held. some captors look upon religion among captives merely as a means of plantation discipline and please themselves with the idea that the more religious their captives are, the easier they may be managed. The story of the horse, Black Beauty, provides insight into the manufacturing of captives in America. There are several similarities between the tale and the reality of American Africans today, as well as during our captivity. As discussed earlier, training techniques applied to enslaved Africans in America resemble those used in horse training. Relationships between the mother and the child in Africa were studied by the captors, in order to control them in their captivity in America. The role of the father was also studied so that Europeans could counteract those roles and relationship. Corruption of the mind of the mother and the reduction of the father's role led to Europeans being able to control Africans for many generations. The African child, just as the colt, the horse, looked up to the captor as the leader, as opposed to his own father. Since the African male, like the stallion, was removed from his role as the leader, the protector of the family. Force, fear, and fraud, the three means of control discussed by Richard Hildreth, and the methods discussed in the undocumented Willie Lynch speech. Man, Willie Lynch, we know that for the fraud that was. But having met the brother that did write the Willie Lynch letter, and understand why he did it. And I remember some people passing it on as if this was something that really happened, you know. But you could see that it could be possible because of some of the things that it said. And then when you look at what happened then, the beatings and so forth, and then you look at what happened at that time, and even now, you can see, yeah, the control of the mind, the control of the actions, the fear put into them. Combined with the horse training methods, created an effective slaveocracy whose impact is still being felt today. Yeah. Slaveocracy, capturing the African mind. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. I want us to be able to understand that this is a war we're in. We're in a war for the minds of our people. And it's always about the African mind. Who is going to control our minds? Are we going to be in control of our minds? Or the people who put us in the who put us in this captive condition going to continue to do so? Now, you know, when you looked at Ibrahim Traoré and how he's going about doing what he's doing, to me, every African, wherever you are, should be proud of the fact that this man is doing something for the people of Burkina Faso. And all of the disinformation and misinformation, particularly by the West and particularly by Negroes who are generals and whoever else rank they may have, are saying this to other countries and even African countries around the Sahel states of Burkina Faso, Niger, and Mali. All around them, all those other saying these things that, listen, this is what's going on. We got to do something. We got to destabilize them. We got to kill them. We got to kill that leadership. And let me say this right now, because even at this very moment, I'm hoping that the development of a cadre of leadership that is exemplified with Ibrahim Traoré and others is something that is beyond a person. It is something instilled in us. So if one of them is killed, it doesn't end. We just turn the other page and we continue on. That's what I hope. Because there's no doubt about it. They have the mechanisms. They have the ability. They could fly a drone. Somebody said you shouldn't say that. Don't give them any ideas. I ain't giving no damn ideas. I'm just saying what is truly possible. Hell, they do that shit on TV and movies all the time, don't they? I'm not giving nobody any. Hope the idea that I'm trying to give is to be independent, self-determined, and liberated, and sovereign. I hope that's the idea that I'm trying to give, that your mind is outside of the imposed boundaries that Europeans have put us in. That's what I hope to happen. Brother Irv, how you doing, man?
Baba Oshi, thanks for taking my call, Baba. Good to hear your voice.
You too, dear brother. How you doing, man?
Brother, I'm doing good. You keep on this show, we always come back to what we end with. We always come back to the mind.
Yes.
Of the oppressed. Everything is about the mind. Everything.
It is.
You can have all the guns in the world, but if you aren't thinking correctly, you'll mess around and shoot your damn self. The thing is, the one thing that the oppressor came for was the mind of the oppressed. And let's be clear, when you're able to confuse a people where you can give them a colored paper, like the lady said, what you played earlier, and I was listening, brother.
She said,
he gives you a colored paper for your resources,
mm-hmm.
a colored paper. That
mm-hmm.
has no value.
Mm-hmm.
The only value that this dollar has is the value that you give it. You kill somebody over a colored piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
That's not even paper. It's actually cloth.
Yeah.
So the reality is, when Ibrahim changed the names of the streets in Burkina Faso from Charles de Gaulle Boulevard to mm-hmm. an African name,
right?
That's when the West got nervous. It's not when he got the guns. It's not when he got the drones or he started building the munitions factory. Oh, they didn't get worried about that. They got worried when he decided to change the mindset of the people. Because white people, and I said white people, they are persistent. They understand that this is not going to happen today. It's going to be a generation. This generation is gone. But the next generation is the one that we will control completely. And that's where we are now, where you have sisters putting Indian hair in their head, and you got brothers running around talking about the N-word, and they're buying these CDs and this music from these people who are degrading and talking down to them, and they think that's hip or that's cool or those types of, it's the mind. See, my mind has been liberated. My mind has been living, and not to say I'm any better than anybody else, but I'm no worse than anybody else. Let's keep it 100. I am.
Right.
I understand. Come on, Baba Oshi. I understand that if you, like I was saying the other day, these Caucasians are dancing with the devil. They're dancing with the devil. And I'm telling you, Baba Oshi, if you dance with the devil, one day the devil going to follow you home.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what's happened to these white people.
Yes.
The devil has followed them home. And now they're living a devilish lifestyle. They're doing things to hurt people and not help people. And telling the people that they're hurting that I'm doing this for you. It's going to be some tough times. But it, at the end of the day, you're going to come out better for this. Are you really falling for that foolishness? Because if a Caucasian is talking, a Caucasian is lying. And I said, and I'm using a broad brush. And the reason I'm using a broad brush is because the broad brush is used on my people.
That's right.
You don't say this black person did it or that black. You say all black people are savages. All you black people. But then when I say something about Caucasians, all white folks ain't bad.
Yeah.
Brother Marcus comes on and he said one thing that I'll never forget. He said, Brother Oshi, there are good white people in the cemetery.
That's right.
And I laughed, but it was a cynical laugh, Baba Oshie, because I really believe that.
Mm-hmm.
I truly, this brother, and I'm not saying it because you look white or you dress funny. I'm saying it because of the way I've been treated in my life and how my people have been treated in the 66 years that I've been on this earth. My people have been treated like a permanent second-class citizen.
That's right. Like we permanent are, underclass.
You are to be here. That's mm-hmm. a permanent underclass. We are here for white folks to wipe their feet on us.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to be all right with that. And then when you do put a black face in a so-called high place, that black face act, he doing more for white folks than he doing for people that look like him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he don't believe that he is African. If you notice, the NAACP never says African.
Mm-hmm.
The National, what is it? The NAACP.
The National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. It's the National for the Advancement of Colored People.
Colored people.
I thought it was
Negroes always asking white folks for permission. That's what I thought.
That's what I thought. That's white folks for permission. NACP. Yeah.
That's basically what it is. And then when you do say that you're African, black people in their minds who have been conditioned to believe that Africa is sick, Africa is poor, Africa needs help because Africa can't take care of itself. And you're talking about a country that built pyramids, Baba Oshie. I'm talking about a country. I mean, pyramids have secret compartments in it. How the hell you do that?
Mm-hmm.
How the hell you build something underground? There are underground parts of a pyramid. How did you see? The point I'm making is, Baba Oshie, the campaign against American Africans has worked, and it did work, but it is working no longer. The Trump card now is the internet. You can say anything you want to me, Baba Oshie. I will pull my phone out, Google it, look it up, and see what it says that it is or what it ain't. So you can't tell me anything. We ain't having these arguments no more in the barbershop. I can pull it up and see what it says about this particular subject. So the Trump card is the internet.
Mm-hmm.
I can see Ibrahim in real time right now. I can pull up an Ibrahim speech if I want to.
That's right.
So the reality is, We are no longer those people who say, "Oh, I wish I could." No, you don't wish anything. No. There's a way to do it.
That's right.
There's a way to do it. So now, Baba Oshie, we are at a place where Africa has risen. I don't say Africa is rising. I say Africa has risen. And now, when you pull out the black people to say that Africa is a terrorist organization, that's when you know you are making a difference. That you have rattled the cage. You've shown the bear that we ain't scared of you. We're not afraid. Ibrahim has a target on his back, and he's moving like a warrior, like a soldier. And he knows he has a target on his back. Martin Luther King knew he had a target on his back. Anyone who tries to free or liberate your people in some kind of way is always going to be targeted by these Caucasians because they want Africa to stay poor.
That's
as
right.
As you said before, they must stay poor. They must be second class. If they are not poor, we will not survive. And you're absolutely correct.
Mm-hmm.
But you will survive, white people. You'll just survive a different way. Because this whole America's number one, go ahead. Close off the borders. Internalize. Be by yourself. And tell me how that works out for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
we're all connected, my brother. The Most High connects all of us. And you said it earlier in the program. The food, the chain, where you fit in the universe, they're disruptors. They want to disrupt that chain. They want to disrupt all that. And that's what white people are. They're disruptors. And by them doing that, you're not hurting me. You're hurting yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is no you without me. Do you understand that? You come from me. You come from me, bro. And if you're going to, and I got to say it because I say it every time I call, and if you think you're going to weaponize religion against me, you got another thing coming. Because I ain't putting nothing in the plate. There you go.
There you go.
Okay.
All right, dear brother. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for that,
Pete. Okay,
amen.
Brother. Brother Irv.
Well, listen, brother. Put me on beat. Thank you, man.
All right, peace. Brother Irv. Hey, what's up, Kwaku? How you doing, dear brother? Kwaku, you there? Okay. I'm sounding good. All right. Okay. Yeah. Yep. Here's another piece I thought I'd like. Listen to this.
Becoming a superpower, you wouldn't have to invent a new strategy. The blueprint has already been written, tested, and perfected over centuries. You'd start by making sure Africa never unites. The easiest way to do that is by keeping people divided along ethnic, tribal, and religious lines. If they ever start working together, remind them of past grievances. Stoke old wounds. Fund separatist movements. Keep border disputes unresolved. Make sure every time they take one step forward, they take two steps back because they're too busy fighting each other. You'd install leaders who serve foreign interests, not their people. Find the most corrupt, the most easily manipulated, the ones who crave wealth and status more than progress. Offer them power in exchange for loyalty. If a leader rises who actually cares about Africa, get rid of them. Assassinate them if necessary. But if that's too messy, just destabilize their government and back a coup. If they talk about nationalizing resources, make an example out of them. If they try to unite Africa, take them out before the idea spreads. You'd keep Africa economically weak by making sure it never industrializes. Let them export raw materials, but never process them themselves. Control the mines, the oil fields, the rare earth minerals. Keep them selling cheap and buying expensive. If a country tries to break free and build its own industries, sabotage it. Place sanctions, destabilize its currency, fund local opposition, crash its economy. If that doesn't work, orchestrate a civil war. People can't build when they're too busy trying to survive. You'd make sure their education system produces workers, not innovators. Teach them history that glorifies their oppressors. Make them think their cultures are primitive. Their ancestors were savages. Their future depends on foreign approval. Train them to memorize, not to think critically. Keep their best and brightest looking overseas for opportunities. Make them dream of escaping Africa rather than fixing it. Offer scholarships that take their top minds to the West and never encourage them to return. Let the continent keep training doctors and engineers only for them to go enrich other nations. You'd control their narratives. Own their media. Control their stories. Dictate their image to the world. Make them believe they are corrupt, hopeless, eternally in crisis. Flood their screens with poverty porn and war zones. Show them charity ads that make them believe they are helpless without foreign aid. Downplay their successes. Twist their victories into isolated incidents. If an African country develops a groundbreaking innovation, credit a foreign investor. If an African leader implements a successful policy, frame it as an anomaly rather than proof of competence. You'd make sure they remain dependent. Drown them in debt. Offer loans with impossible conditions. Force them to privatize everything so foreign corporations own their water, their electricity, their land. When they struggle, give them just enough aid to keep them alive, but never enough to make them self-sufficient. Use charities to create a culture of reliance rather than resilience. Make them think foreign intervention is necessary, that they can't solve their own problems, that they always need help from the outside. You'd suppress their military strength. Keep their armies weak, their defense industries non-existent. Sell them weapons to fight each other, but never let them develop high-tech military technology. If a country tries to build a strong defense system, accuse them of being a threat to stability. Make sure they always need foreign peacekeepers, foreign military bases, foreign advisors controlling their security. Keep them vulnerable to invasion, coups, and foreign interference. The formula is simple. Divide, corrupt, exploit, miseducate, control. Keep them fighting each other. Keep them looking outside for solutions. Keep them poor, dependent, insecure. Make sure every attempt to break free is met with resistance so strong that the next generation thinks twice before trying again. This isn't a theory. It's history. The real question isn't how to stop Africa from becoming a superpower. It's how Africa can break the cycle despite every effort to keep it down.
And every effort, they will definitely try their best to make sure that it never happens. That it never happens. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. It is, you know, family, it is rather frustrating because you look at what has happened to us and what continues to happen. And you would think that at this time, those who have made this happen to us will be like, okay, damn, we done did this to these people hundreds of years. What you see happening is just like, there's so many of us who blame ourselves, you know, who don't understand that the Europeans did this. This is there. This is what they have done to us, to make us look at ourselves in such disparaging ways, to hate ourselves, to hate each other, to go after the goodies that they have. You know, just like this past weekend, the dandies, as they call them, looking at the styles and so forth, you know, because way back when, we still dressed in Western clothing. We didn't dress in traditional African clothing because we consider ourselves not to be African. Just like, you know, you have some people who have been in this country whose family has been here. They've been here for generations. And so the thinking of them, they're not African anymore. They're not African. They're American, you know. And even though America doesn't recognize them as such, but they recognize America. They've been educated. They've worked here. Everything has been about here. They lived in communities, and maybe through that effort of education and work, they've elevated themselves continuously to live in a very posh neighborhood, if you want to use that word. And so they feel this is just as much theirs or ours as African people as it is to the Caucasian. And not understanding, they always want to give you the illusion of your inclusion. Because it ain't, because if push comes to that shove, your ass has got the way. And so, and not understanding too how important it is to have your own. To have your own. Just as the song, God bless the child who's got his own, as opposed to these children who are begging and who we beg from. It's just like, I keep saying all the time, you know, we keep begging to these people and they can't stand us. That's why they continue to throw crumbs at us to pacify us. They wish we would disappear. Believe me. They wish we would disappear. You know, the fact of what they did, they believed that our captivity would be forever. Would be forever. And then, of course, the things that we did to try to get up out of it, along with some others and so forth. But the reality is, we're still in that mode. No, there are some of us who got wherewithal and they can step outside of it. But basically, we as an African people here in this country, here in Western society, whether it's here in America, whether it's in Europe, Australia, wherever it is, African people, dark-skinned people are at the low, and when you look at a ladder, at the lowest rung of the economic or social condition of a society, the low to this day. Brother Irv, you back with us?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Baba Oshie. I just wanted to say that piece you just played was just so profound, and I believe that we can play that again so that people can hear that.
Yeah, I'm going to play that continuously. I'm going to play that continuously over the time. Because it is what that is, you know. That's the whole idea of what these people want to continue to do, what they have done, and they want to continue to do. Our quest is for us to break this. Our quest is to demolish it and then step outside of it. I am so sick of us believing that we can do some legislation. And I know we got some sharp people, and I listen to my sister all the time, Jasmine Crockett. I like her, but still, she believes that through the legislative process, the governmental process, change can be made. You know, some change can be made, but not substantial. It is not. What This government and this system is not going to liberate us. This government and this system is going to continue to perpetuate, you know, the conditions that we have been under and in for hundreds of years. Hundreds of years. This is, once again, I don't mean to be redundant, but this is theirs, not ours. And
that is absolutely.
And even those legislators who believe that we can influence it, and some may argue that we can influence it, but we can't control it because it's not ours. Go ahead, brother.
No, you're absolutely correct, Baba Oshie. And as long as you have an integrationist mindset, as long as you believe that eventually these white folks are going to wake up one day and love you and be with you and we're all going to live here together, you will keep putting on their clothing. You'll keep coming to their legislative meetings. You'll keep saying what's wrong with us and why y'all and keep asking. Mm-hmm. I'm tired of asking why you doing this to me. I already know why you're doing it. Mm-hmm. You're doing it because you're evil. You're doing it because you've been doing it. You're doing it because you ain't had no resistance. But right now, I would rather die standing up than to live on my knees. Because white people want us to be in a place that we no longer fit anymore. We're bigger than the box they put us in. We're bigger than the slave ship they brought us over on. Mm-hmm. We're bigger than that. And we're not going to stand for it, and we will not. And Africa is not rising. It is risen. And they're going to see it because they're seeing it now. Baba Oshie, thank you so much for this show. This is amazing to me.
God, thank you, brother. Know. Appreciate you, man. All right.
Yes, sir.
All right. Yeah, we're on our way out today. Only got a couple more minutes. Somebody wants to just jump in and join in. You can do so. You got a minute. But I just want to say that that's what this program is about. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time or any other time elsewhere, that's what this program is about. That's what we're talking about. That's what we want to happen. That this program begins to make the substantive change in us. And it begins with our minds. It begins with our minds. Free your mind and your ass will follow. Where is it? Hey, Kwaku. Kwaku, you there? Yes, my brother used to. When I was on Blog Talk Radio, before I came on to Time for an Awakening, we just have a brother say, free your mind. And your ass will follow. And that's real. Brother Lust, what's up, Brother Lust? Ted, how you doing?
Peace and blessings, Baba Oshie. I had to jump off, but jump right back on.
I know how it is, brother.
I heard that today was recapturing the African mind. And when you mentioned Bruce Bridges,
yes, sir.
I said, let me give him a text to see if he would be able to call in.
Yes, but, right on.
I like the piece that you mentioned earlier during the NSSM, Daily Revolutionary Thought, especially when it talks about young people doing things to help protect themselves. But I want to just kind of take it and twist it just a little bit in that what do we as elders, those of us that are 50, 60, 70 years of age, do in order for us to protect ourselves, right? And so we may not be as mobile to do capoeira or all kinds of types of things, but what are some things that
I think obviously the bottom line from a physical standpoint, you know, that may not be as possible, especially if you come upon somebody in their 30s or 40s, you know, and you're in your 70s, you know. Yeah, I mean, I used to box. Boxing. Only thing I'd probably be boxing is some oranges. box. But no, I think that the reality is you have to still fight. You still got to fight. And so you still got to, you know, go to the local dojo. That's a, you know, where they study karate and so forth, or to a gym and just to work out, you know, so that you can. So if you got to throw some hands, you throw some hands. But also, too, if you got a gun, you go to the range.
Gun range, yeah.
You go to the gun range, and if it's a handgun or if it's a right, whatever it is, our protection against this madness is our responsibility, you know? And so we have to protect ourselves and our family and our people, you know, and hopefully that whatever weapon that you have chosen to use and to study or even master, that is for those who would attack us. It's not for something that we would do to each other. It's for those outside of us, because we're striving to come together. And so we're therefore, if somebody, and but if, hey, even if one, because, you know, there's a lot of traitors. We have one, yep, who will come at us to do the bidding of those who are in control, who want to maintain that control, and who will slip him some crumbs. And he thinks, or she thinks, that by doing so, it'll benefit. Yeah, it'll benefit you personally, but it would not benefit us as a people. In fact, it would deter our rise. And I agree with Irv. We are rise. We have risen. And then let's keep on rising to the top. There's no doubt about it. But I think that's what we got to do. Right on.
Very good. Well, one other little small little piece is with what Baba Varudi had made mention of some time ago, I think on this program or another, I'd heard him, with regards to trying to navigate in the dark, right? And I don't know if he had made that presentation about how we should be able to maneuver, right, in the dark or dark places.
Okay.
And so that's interesting, because that's one of the things that I try to do within the confines of my own home.
Right.
And say, okay, I know that.
Right. I know where I am.
How do I navigate around that, especially in the darkness? Mm-hmm. And so it's just interesting about some techniques and procedures by which we can learn for our own selves, for our protection and defense.
I agree. All right, dear brother. Thanks a lot, brother. Love.
Brother, as always.
Always.
Always listening and learning.
Always listening and learning. I love that, man. Appreciate that.
Yes, sir. All right. Yes, sir.
We end this program like we end all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind, but not just the MIND, but the MINE, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Hope to see you on Friday. Shemhotep, that means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Peace, family.